All right. As Mark said, we have loved having this group of seniors. They've meant a whole lot to us as a church. I'd like to thank all of them for y'all have given so much of your time. You have been here in these pews. You've been in the youth room. You've volunteered. You've served. Thank you. And to the congregation, thank you for supporting students so much and so well. I mean, they are sitting here because of your support. So thank you for that. With that, we want to recognize our first high school graduate, Laurel Abney. Thank you, sir. So I also had the students answer a kind of questionnaire to kind of get some fun facts about them. I asked, what was your favorite activity during recess growing up? And Laurel said one of her favorite things was running around the playground, playing tag with her friends, which is a great pastime. Laurel plans on going to AC and transferring to SFA to be and hopefully be an art therapist or an art teacher. And so that's where Laurel will be around for a little bit. So Laurel, we're very proud of you. Here's your Bible.
Laurel, your family has been a part of this church since 1970s, the late 70s. Your grandfather thinks he's in charge of that pew even. And your family always sits on the same pew. Sometimes someone else gets here early. Your grandfather gets here about 3 hours early. But sometimes someone, and they sit in your pew, and it just throws the whole family off. Grandpa and grandma, your mom, your dad, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your cousins, all on that pew. And I think that's very special in the life of a student, in the life of a family, to have a church, to have roots. It's very special. Through the years, Mr. Bob told me you're one of the ones who were in that preschool Sunday school class that he taught. You've heard a lot of sermons. I'm sure you remember them all. You've heard many singing, but I hope you'll reflect on the scriptures that you've heard. As you prepare to go to AC and then SFA, I think of a scripture that you've heard preached many times here. Of all the scriptures I could give, this one is one that you can hang on forever. They asked Jesus, what was the greatest, the one commandment? And Jesus, without stuttering, said, oh, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. As you go forth from this day, if you did nothing else but love God and love others, you would be fulfilling God's command. Blessings upon you as you go forth. My dear, sure, dear.
Leah Acreage. Hey, Leah. So the question I asked, another question I asked is, what's a strange talent that you have, or a strange skill? I didn't even know this. Leah is a pogo expert, and for that we had, there's no pogo stick. She's a pogo stick expert. No idea. But Leah will be going to ETBU to play softball, and she is going to be majoring in English. And we're very happy with that because we have a lot of grammatical debates up in the youth room. We do, believe it or not. So, Leah, we are very proud of you. Here's your Bible.
Leah told me she was most concerned about what I might say about her, but she should not worry. That red hair. The first time I met Leah, that red hair, where did she get that? And then I met her sister, Lindsay, and then I met her mother. And then I met her father, and now I know where she got all of that beautiful red hair. It matches her personality as well. Whereas Laurel was baptized in 2010 in this church, Leah was baptized in 2007. Leah, do you know that exactly 68 years ago this month, your grandmother joined this church? I look back on the record. I officiated her grandmother's funeral earlier in the year or end of last year, in May, 68 years ago. What a heritage, what a beautiful history that Leah and her family, the Acreages, have had in this church. Leah is a leader on the campus. I've enjoyed watching Leah play softball. I always knew she could hit it over the fence, though the coach made you do that little swatty thing. You could have hit a home run every time. My two proudest moments with Leah go back last summer. Leah was recognized by the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship at our annual meeting as one of 20 students in the nation who were making a difference in their church and their community. I was gleaming with pride in Dallas at CBF when they recognized Leah. But really, as I reflect on Leah, it was in November of this past year. Leah called and wanted to know if she and some members of FCA could come by our home and pray for me. It was Pastor Appreciation Month. That Thursday afternoon, late in the evening, Leah and about 15 students gathered in our living room, had me stand in the middle, and one by one, these students from Lufkin High School prayed for this pastor. How meaningful that was. As she left, I told her, Leah, of all the years of ministry, I've never had a group of students do that. It was so meaningful. Leah, God has great plans for you. And so Jeremiah records these words: before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a leader to the nations. Oh, Lord, he said, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid, for I am with you forever. As you go to ETBU, know of God's hand upon you. Know that God will speak through you. We love you, Leah. Thank you. Yeah.
Keep Armstrong. The thing I think I initially enjoyed about Keith first was that I found out he's a soccer player. And not just that, he played the exact same position that I did in soccer. We're about the same height, and so I just liked him off the bat. But Keith will be going to Oklahoma State University, Stillwater, Oklahoma. It's a family legacy, right? And you will be majoring in biology, hoping to be a PA one day. Keith, we have loved having you as part of the youth group, and here's your Bible.
Keith, when I first met you, I thought, that's not even a name, Keith. I've known of a Keeve, and I've known of a Keith, and I've known of a Kev, but I've never known of a Keith. So you are unique and original. When you go to Oklahoma State, if you grab those boards and beat on the side of the stadium during Baylor football games, I will haunt you the rest of your life. That is not of God. That is not a good thing that they do at Oklahoma State. You've been so faithful to our church on Wednesday nights, to our youth group on Sunday mornings here. I enjoyed reading the newspaper every week to see what you did in soccer, to see when your name was printed, and occasionally that wonderful picture of you making a score. There's a new chapter in your life, a new day beginning at Oklahoma. What will it be? What would it look like? I hope some of the things that you've heard Dan speak of and that you've heard in worship will go with you. Micah 6:8. He has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. As you go to Oklahoma, justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Proud of you, Keith. Thank you. All right.
Gracie England. I think one of the things I love most about Gracie is she is a great audience. So whenever I tell a joke, Gracie is usually the first to laugh at it, no matter how bad it is. Thank you for that, Gracie. I'll miss that. Another question I asked him, I said, what will you miss most about First Baptist? And this is what Leah said, or Gracie said. Sorry. Gracie said, I'm going to miss Wednesday nights the most. I became so close with everyone in our youth group, and it was so nice to be with everyone Wednesday talking about Jesus. Everyone in the youth room helped me grow into the person I am today, and they helped me grow in my relationship with Jesus. Gracie, we love you. Gracie will be going to Blinn next year, transferring to A&M, and she wants to go into political science at the Bush School at A&M, and she wants to, that's Gracie, we have loved having you. We love you. Here's your Bible.
I asked Gracie what she had missed the most, and she said Sunday morning worship. I don't know where you got your notes. When I think of Gracie, I always say sweet, kind Gracie, because that really is who she is. Gracie was baptized here in the church on Easter Sunday morning when you were a fifth grader. Gracie has such a calm assurance about her, kind, meek. And then you put her on the basketball court. Wow, is she not kind or meek? She can hit those three-pointers. You're a baller. She can hit those three-pointers. I would yell, just give it to Gracie. Just give it to Gracie. The coach never listened, but I told her, give it to Gracie. And Aurelia yelled, ref, you're so sorry. Can't you see anything? You're blind. And all of those, you heard her, didn't you? Yes, you did hear her. Gracie, you love God. You love the church. You have a great love for your family and your love for others. 2 years ago, Gracie said, Pastor Mark, I want to come and meet with you. And I thought, oh my, are your parents being mean? Is your grandmother out carousing? What is it? And Gracie came. And on a Sunday morning, we had a meeting. And she said, I want my junior and senior year to make a difference on my campus. I want others to see Christ in me. I want my friends to come to a knowledge of Christ, and I want to be a light for God. In my years of ministry, 31, it's very seldom that I've had a junior come and say, I want that. Maybe they thought it, but Gracie articulated it, and she followed through with it. What a wonderful light she assigned for Christ this year. As you go up to Berlin, Philippians 1, Paul said, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. You may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the glory and praise of God. Your love is so big already. May it abound as you touch lives all around Berlin. Thanks, Gracie. We love you.
Campbell Selman. Campbell was not excited when I told her that she had to give a speech today. And she doesn't really have to, but I like tricking her. But in August, at the church-wide, the hymnal...
Gospel Sing.
Gospel Sing, that's the day that I'm looking for. The Gospel Sing, Campbell came to that, and I remember at the dinner we had afterwards, Campbell came up to me and said, I'm going to start coming on Wednesdays. It was a rare occasion that Campbell did not come on a Wednesday. And Campbell, we have loved having you at this church, and we're excited to see where you go. Campbell's going to be going to Baylor to play softball, and you're going to be majoring in biology. That's going to be great. All right, Campbell, here's your Bible. We've loved having you here.
Campbell, the first time I met you, I loved you because you were wearing a Baylor shirt. And Baylor folks love other Baylor folks. And you've just been the light of my eye this past year on Wednesday nights. Most Wednesday nights, I'd go upstairs, definitely not to see Dan, but to see you because you had on that Baylor shirt. And you're going to play ball for Baylor. I wanted you to quit your senior year and go play ball for Baylor this year because we really needed you in softball this year. You're going to make a difference on that softball field, and I'll be there yelling for you. When I went to Baylor, I remember a verse that I've reflected on many. It's my favorite verse, perhaps, Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained all of this, not that I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You press on. I never had biology at Baylor. You press on. You're going to need it. You press on. Forget the past, move forward, and walk with God as you go. Congratulations. All right, Dan.
Josh Williams. I don't know if Josh knows this, but when I first came to this church, when Katie and I first came here, Caitlin McWilliams pulled me aside, and she pointed out Josh. She goes, "That guy right there is one of the sweetest guys you will ever meet." And I've come to find it very true. We're very proud of Josh. Josh is going to be going to SFA, and he's going to be majoring in music education. He's in the band, or he was in the band, at Lufkin High School, and we loved watching you there. Josh, we're proud of you. Here's your Bible.
Josh, the first time I met you, Walker McWilliams said, "That guy's a brat." And I don't know who to believe. But I remember being, I'd only been here 3 weeks, we were having a Super Bowl party at the Lowe's house. You and some of your friends were playing like fourth graders on the stairs. And Tina Lowe said, "You guys better get down off those stairs, I'm going to beat you." And so you were a brat. But then, 2 years after that, at a Super Bowl party, we were at the Langstons, and I thought, wow, you grew up. And we had a great conversation. I loved watching you in the band as you played the saxophone, and even more so in the theater. Whenever you played Judd Fry, poor Judd is dead, poor Judd Fry, and you sang, and not everyone could be Judd Fry in Oklahoma, but you did it, and you did it well. You have so many abilities and talents. Here's my prayer for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. In this church, you made your profession of faith. As you go forth, may God continue to direct you. Proud of you. See you guys. Take that. I would like our graduates to stand. And family members, if you're a family member, would you stand too? All of our graduates, family members in the balcony, all around.
Can y'all hear me? Is that on? Okay, that's on. All right. Well, so the last time I preached was not that long ago, and someone came up to me the next week and said, "Even though your sermon was really short, we really like having you at this church." But if you liked that short sermon, buckle up and get ready, because this will be a lot like that. And I'm calling an audible when it comes to the text that's in the bulletin. It's not 1 Thessalonians 1. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 5, or chapter 55, verse 7. I'm going to read that for us. "Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that He may have mercy on them, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." In high school, my senior class motto was leaving a legacy. And we wanted everyone to remember the impression that we made on the school. We wanted everyone to look back and say, "Oh, I remember the class of 2006. And really, the only thing that we did that was memorable was there was this building called the Buford Arts and Sciences Building, and we took the F off of the word Buford and superglued it in front of the word Arts and Sciences. It's the only thing that we did that was memorable. I knew there, you have to think about that one for a second. But summer traditionally marks a time of transitions. For us, Wednesday nights have come to an end, school's ending. Graduation's happening. We're going off to camp in a couple weeks. And get ready, because it's about to be a million degrees outside until November. And as we say goodbye to one thing and hello to the next thing, I can't help but think about how fundamentally necessary transitioning and changing is to a life of faith and to a life of discipleship. So much so that I think changing can be one of the greatest legacies or gifts that you could ever give to the church or to people seeking faith. Changing and transitioning. I don't know much about lemmings, I mean, I had to look them up. I didn't know that they were it's a rodent. It's an animal, lemmings. Or it's also a word used to describe people who unthinkingly join mass movements, especially a headlong rush to destruction. Lemmings do not stray from what the crowd is doing. They don't change. And we live in a world where it is encouraged to be somewhat of a lemming, to not change. Think about it. Viral YouTube videos. The whole premise of a YouTube video is to see how many people you can get to watch it. The most viewed YouTube video ever has 6.1 billion views. And there are 7.5 billion people on Earth. That means over 80% of people on Earth have seen this YouTube video. Lemmings. If the main voice we listen to is one that says a life of faith and a life of discipleship is not important, then that is the voice we are likely to follow. If the world can convince 6.1 billion to listen to a song featuring a guy named Daddy Yankee, no joke, that's like the person who wrote that song, it can convince anyone that a life of faith isn't that important. But it's not just the world that leads people away from Jesus, it's the church too. Did you know that 59% of people between the ages of 22 and 35 who were raised in church drop out? 59%. And that 2 in 10 Americans under 30 believe attending church is important or worthwhile. Only 2 in 10 in their 30s. Staggering. And you think any organization with that type of retention rate would have to change direction? Thoughts and reasoning behind those numbers do not blame outside forces as much as they blame the people inside church who have presented faith to that age group, to that age demographic. And what they said is that church and faith have been presented to children and youth not as a way of life, but just as another piece of information or just another activity that needs to be mastered, like math, science, English, baseball, soccer, dance, cheer, tennis, volleyball, AP tests. And we wonder why this age demographic forgets their faith when it's not presented as a way of life. It is as if we are teaching that we are asked daily to solve calculus problems, we are asked daily to recite Shakespeare, we are asked daily to steal second base, and that only on a rare occasion will we ever have to reconcile God with the few times we're faced with grief, loneliness, sorrow, neglect, suffering, and confusion. So I say all of this to ask you this question. What legacy of faith are you leaving for people coming after you? Seniors, all six of you right here. I have been to college. That sounds lame to begin with. I have been to college, and I have been in college ministry. And I'm going to tell you that not many people in college go to church. And not many people are going to make you feel bad about not going to church. That is not me telling you that that's okay. That's not a blessing on you doing that. That's me telling you the reality of things and the reality of the temptation you will face to be complacent with ministry, to be complacent with the importance of being incarnate, to be present in the body of Christ. Up until this point, your congregational church life has very much been concerned about you and serving you. And as soon as you graduate, I'm sorry to say, the church will have very few exciting events that are specifically for you. So, to combat that, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to promote you from youth to volunteers. All right? You are volunteers now. You are 18. You can volunteer. I need you to come back next summer, and I need you to be leaders at camp and at Super Summer. Alyssa Dotson has carried that burden far too long on her own. We need y'all to come back and be leaders. And for these students coming after you, the ones sitting right behind you, show them what it looks like to take a different path than the other people in college. I challenge you to be the 2 in 10. I challenge you to be the 2 in 10 who see that church is worthwhile. I challenge you to be the 41% of people who grow up in church and stayed in church. This is important. To the rest of the congregation, to the other students here, so in our text today, it was written in the Old Testament, so it's in Hebrew, and I doubt any of you have a favorite Hebrew word. Nobody has a favorite Hebrew word? I guess not. But that's probably a good thing. But my favorite Hebrew word is one that was in the text, and it is shuv, which means to return or to turn back. All throughout the Old Testament, we see this word used as a challenge or beckoning in a change in direction. It is such a transitional word because it requires not a 45-degree turn or a 90-degree turn or even a 120-degree turn, but a complete 180 from the direction that you were going. One of the greatest legacies, examples, or testimonies you can give to these students, or that students that you can give to this congregation and the people around you, is your willingness to turn your life and intentionally orient yourself toward Jesus Christ. So my challenge to the congregation is this: how willing are you to make turning to God the thing in your life instead of a thing? How willing are you to be a walking testimony, for as the text said, forsaking your ways, forsaking your thoughts, and turning to God? And whichever one you choose, that will be your legacy. That will be the legacy that you leave. That will be the gift that you give to God's church. If you choose to show people that in your life, you daily orient your life towards God, however imperfectly that may be, then you are leaving a legacy worth its name. You are leaving a legacy that God would say, thank you, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you choose to make living a life of faith just another thing, then what we can't do is we can't blame people dropping out of church. The 8 out of 10 won't be because of cell phones. The 59% won't be because they took God out of schools. It will be because we stopped declaring that turning to God daily is the most important thing in life. When we neglect that message, we don't get to share the good news that God gives grace to us every day, that it is brand new every day, that every day we have a chance to turn to God and say, God, pull me out of this pit that I found myself in. If we are not declaring that message, then who knows what other messages are going to be going through to the world around us. So today, along with these seniors, I ask that we make a transition. If you need to make a transition, I ask that you do that today. If you need to make a change in the direction of your walk, I encourage you to do that today. If living in God's grace has just been another thing in your life, if living a life of faith has been on the same shelf as work, as a grade in the classroom, as a skill in an extracurricular activity, I would ask that today you make turning to God daily the thing in your life. Let's pray. Father, we follow all sorts of things, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us when we do not follow you. Lord, we love these students. We love them so much, Lord, that our prayer is that they would always choose you, Lord, and that they would always remember that your grace is available to them daily and that you love them no matter what path they've been going down, that you are always available to them. Father, I don't just ask that for these seniors here. I ask that for everyone in the congregation, that would be a truth that they would know in their lives, Lord, that they would know the love and the grace, the hospitality and the mercy that you offer. Father, we thank you for a day like today where we get to come and gather together. Lord, we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.